Hello and welcome to Test Pilot, the podcast where you may as well watch the whole show instead. I'm your host, Mark, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cassie and Kale.
Hi.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. So glad you're listening.
I was listening to my favorite podcast, Test Pilot, the other day.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's just so hard to listen to, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just four, especially when there's a guest.
It's four people screaming
just four
over
people
each other.
Screaming
it's
at
an
each
upcoming
other.
Cult classic, though.
But yeah. You know what? It's always Sunny keeps getting renewed.
Yeah, dude. Right.
I can't wait till we're all dead and someone picks up and is like, have you heard this shit?
Tomorrow.
You wouldn't believe the opinions these guys have.
Let's make this one count, guys.
Yeah, let's do it. No.
Just quickly, no. I got a question for the room.
A question for the room.
Have you guys been shooting your shot?
Haven't. I have not. And the reason I haven't been doing it is who gives a shit? I haven't really been shooting my shot, and that's just mainly because I'm trying to not I just haven't been on my phone as much as usual.
Well done,
thanks guys.
Well, I didn't. She didn't thank you. Only I did.
Thanks, guy.
Thanks,
guy. Yeah, I don't. Thanks, I'm guy. Not.
I actually called Mark
because you gave us homework, and I'm the only one that did the homework ever.
That's true, and I actually, you know, the little scamp that I am.
You did.
I gave you my
homework.
So did you hit up Jericho for me?
Who's Jericho?
He'll put you in the walls. Chris Jericho, the man that I asked you to hit up for me.
You didn't give me a person.
I said Chris Jericho.
Who's Chris Jericho?
He's a wrestler, obviously.
You did give me
Y2J.
A person.
Y2J. He'll put you in the walls. It's a submission move, and trust me.
You don't want to be there.
But you won't want to tap out either.
I'm a submissive girl.
Yeah, he's fit.
Ooh. Have you been shooting your shot?
Not since our last check-in,
right?
Where we went through the times I shot my shot.
And I respect that philosophy because it's like, why do more when we haven't even caught up yet?
Yeah.
So would you guys say that the 2024, the year of becoming a good podcast, is off to a good start? So far we talk over each other still and we don't do the one thing we said we would do.
I think I stopped audibly yawning into the mic a bit.
We'll see.
Like, I've done it less.
Yeah, true.
And that's an improvement.
It is an improvement.
It's not good.
There's been a couple of episodes, and I think this does, because as I've mentioned, I don't think I've ever mentioned this, but Kale's a very good podcast boy. You know, he comes on time, and he's very studious. And
how do I come late? I live
always,
here.
He's always putting in that extra effort.
If anything, I've been here for hours.
But there were times in the past where I've been in a room with two yawners at the one time. And that was tough. That was tough to do.
Did
episode.
Andy used to yawn a lot?
Andy
as well?
Andy sometimes yawned. There was an episode
he's
where
back you, next week to yawn with us.
There was an episode where you both were lying down the entire episode.
Yeah. We got a performance review after that one, and it was not kind.
That's hilarious.
It was midway through, actually.
Yeah.
Halfway through the podcast, I stopped the recording and said, "Hey guys, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Can you fucking sit up? Because it feels like I'm talking to two sleeping people right now."
I remember when we first got mic stands, and I said, "Oh, I could like put it over me so I could lie down." You're like, that's not what it's for.
It used to be a very different show. Like, for example, if Andy was on today's
sexy
episode, he'd be really into more like Terry Hatchett's daughter, and he'd be talking about her nonstop.
I remember that. I remember those days.
Yeah, we've
obviously I never listened, but I heard a lot about those days.
We have matured. But yeah, okay, so we haven't shot our shot. We haven't stopped talking over each other.
No.
What is there anything else would you think we could do that would make like it a good podcast? Like what a podcast doing at the moment?
You know
that's
what,
good.
You know what might help is if we stop addressing, we stop talking about the issues, and we actually work on them.
Yeah,
I've got another one.
Okay.
See, like, so
straight away, I did not like Kale's.
Right,
I did not like it.
No, because so let's ignore it and then add another one on top.
Yeah, I didn't like listing. It either. It felt like a lot of work.
Yeah.
My one, and I think the listeners would agree with this, is that I get to talk about Vanderpump Rules.
Tis the season to talk about.
Tis the season
Vanderpump
for sure.
Rules.
Why is there a new season coming up?
Mark was invited to the premiere, did not take me.
Didn't go. I would say no. No, I'm going to say no to the to the Vanderpump Rules talk.
Oh yeah.
Because I think
that one we can work on.
Yeah. That's
by
a good
not
one.
Working on
we'll be a good pod, podcast if we don't talk about Vanderpump Rules for the entire year.
There you go.
Zero talk.
Which means you can't even talk about talking about it.
Yes.
Like, that's not going to happen.
Well, then, I mean, that just shows your commitment to the pod.
Yep.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Or does it show my commitment to Vanderpump Rules?
A bit, yeah. A bit of both, actually.
Yeah, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
I'd say the two are directly intertwined.
Absolutely they are.
Yeah.
I could have cancelled tonight to watch Vanderpump Rules, which I am behind on, but I didn't.
Wow, first episode of the year with just the three of us, actually.
I miss it. We did take a big old break, didn't we?
We had some guests. Yeah. We had a big old break. We had an episode without you at all, Kale.
Yeah, you did.
Which is crazy.
We sobbed.
We sobbed. We schlobbed. I don't know what that is.
But we did it.
And it was the tidiest episode in years.
It was so quick.
It was really weird.
It was really weird.
Because, Kale, I could have sworn that I was the problem.
Yeah. Now, we all know I'm the problem. And I don't think I hide that.
No, you're 100% are the problem. And I think the reason you're more of a problem when I'm around is because you're peacocking.
You know what time it is. I heard the word cock, and it's time to do a boy's talk.
I did say it. It was peacock.
You said it.
The only podcast where two boys talk about boy things.
Like giving their female co-host a baby.
Kale.
Yeah, man.
It's been a while since we've been on boy talk. Has there been any boy kind of stuff you've been doing recently? Like just kind of like manning out?
Yeah, I've been like just checking out my balls more lately. And I sort of scooped them up the other day and gave myself a good old crank of the neck to look underneath my balls.
No, you
bit
didn't.
Of discoloration going on down there. Kind of like a purpley. I think it's normal, but yeah, just I'd never noticed it before. Is it like a birthmark? I don't know.
Yeah.
Might have to ask my mom.
You might have to be like, yeah, I've never even thought of doing this. So I know what I'm up to when I get home.
I actually have had a testicular cancer scare.
You have?
But fuck all that.
Yeah, fuck. Yo, fuck cancer.
Fuck all that.
How is like no like indie girl that sings like this done a really sad cover of The Boys Back in Town yet?
How would they do it?
The boy.
Oh, so they still say boys?
Back in town.
Oh. But would they change it to the girls?
Boy? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Mark, for being honest. Yeah.
They'd change it to the girls.
The girls are back in town. Them wild night girls. Them girls are wild now.
I kind of like this direction. I'm taking,
These girls are wild. They took the summer with them.
Wow. You know, I love Jamiroquai.
You did?
Yeah.
Jamiroquai is the best.
No, my friend saw Jamiroquai live recently, and I was like, how did I not know that was happening?
He's so little.
Is he?
And he wears big hats.
Well, you got it. I think that's kind of the little man mantra. He's kind of like wear big hats.
We wear big hats.
That's why I always have such a high ponytail. It just gives me like an extra little half inch.
Yeah, you're really tall.
I am.
And you're gorgeous.
I'm also wearing the world's highest slippers right now. So.
Oh, yeah, that's what it said in the ad.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here?
I'm sorry, Cassie.
The world's highest.
They're platform slippers.
I would say they're of a normal slipper size.
Yeah, and honestly, the easiest record to beat in the world.
I don't like that.
If I want to get in the Guinness, I could do it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With those.
I don't like that Mark just looked at my toes.
Yeah, yeah. And I kept licking my lips while doing it.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's so funny? Just because we sit in sort of like a triangle formation. Mm. I'm always right next to Cassie and we're on the same couch. The amount of foot pictures that I've just secretly stolen of you is hilarious. And I look at your toes all the time.
Well, once we held feet.
That's true.
I took
a picture
beautiful.
Of that.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
Mm, this little piggy wants roast beef.
That's right. This, you know what this little piggy wants?
What's that?
Fast facts.
The show we're doing today is called Desperate Housewives. It aired from 2004 to 2012, had 8 seasons with 180 episodes. Overall on IMDb, Desperate Housewives has a 7.6, and the pilot episode titled Pilot has an 8.5.
Got to love that.
You got it.
I love it when a pilot's called Pilot.
But guys, also 8.5 is pretty high.
You gotta love a high score. You gotta love a pilot called Pilot. You gotta love 180 episodes for a show over eight seasons.
I watched all of it last year.
In 1 year?
Yeah, for the second time. I watched it when it aired.
Well, like, really? Would it take you like 2 months?
Oh, you could do it.
You could definitely do it quicker, but I'm respectfully.
I couldn't even tell you time. What is time?
But obviously it's close to 2 months, whether it's a bit over, a bit less.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the ballpark. Yeah, that's the ballpark. Man, these housewives were desperate.
I couldn't believe how, I was like, okay.
Off the go.
I know, you thought that they were trying to trick you.
I kept watching and being like, there's no way this one's going to do something desperate.
Yeah.
And every time I was shocked because these were one of the most desperate housewives I've ever seen.
Every single one of them had a reason that caused despair in their heart. And then that caused them to act desperately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was impressed.
Now, to peel back the test pilot curtain a little bit, Cassie brought this one to us today.
And I did.
We usually do a little system where we pick one, then someone else picks one, then someone else picks one. And if guests come on, they pick their own episode. So Cassie...
Well, sometimes we do people write.
Okay, that's the funniest shit I've ever heard.
What the fuck? Do-do?
That is...
Stupid.
That's really good.
Sometimes...
In for a penny, in for a pound, I say.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of Boys Talk. We're talking about shit today.
We're talking about shit play.
Shit play, scat play. It can go by many names. Yeah. Of
Dookie.
Dookie. The Green Day album and the scat play.
Yeah.
Yeah, you interested?
You know, if you not too much, but a little bit of a flavor, a little bit of a just spice it up. Like if you're down there already,
yeah,
yeah, you want to taste that,
yeah,
you want that.
Yeah, I think every man, and I will speak for every man because this is a boys' talk. Just wants to be absolutely head to toe covered, like they've jumped, like they have jumped in like a swimming pool full of filth.
I want to taste the guano. Yeah. Do.
So why have you brought us Desperate Housewives today, Cassie?
Well, I was a big fan of the show when it aired when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And it was like a huge show at the time, especially this season.
this was the biggest show when it came out. Like I think this was the biggest show the world.
And it also had like a lot of like behind the scenes drama between the women and stuff like that. It was like always in the tabloids.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Do you have some facts about the drama or anything? Or?
I can just tell you now that none of the women liked Susan.
Who's that?
Which one is Susan? Quick.
The one with the teenage daughter.
Ah.
You mean
all of them? No.
No, only one has
the recently divorced.
Yes.
Oh, what's her name in real life though?
Terry Hatcher.
Just say that. Terry Hatcher's a star.
Well, she was in the first episode of Seinfeld.
She's not. But that's okay.
Isn't she? It's her tits. She's the one with the fake tits.
Yeah, I know, but that's not the first episode.
She not?
That's like season 5 or 6 probably.
Okay.
Like,
so rude.
Actually,
to you.
All of these women except for one were in Seinfeld as various girlfriends of Jerry's.
I believe that. Not Eva, though.
That's the one that wasn't. But also Edie, who's not really one of the main four, was also.
Edie dies, though, right? Pretty quick.
No, she doesn't die till like season 5.
I'm going to be doing this a lot. I'm just going to be throwing out things.
But you're right.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Who the fuck's Edie? Okay, we'll get there. We'll
Edie,
get there,
Edie, and I can say this because they said in the episode, she's a slut.
Oh, she a slut.
She's a slut.
Oh, she a slut.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this show was huge and I watched a lot. And then last year at some point, the teenagers I work with started watching it.
Oh, nice.
Slightly. Is this one of those weird shows like Vampire Diaries that for some reason young kids started watching?
We only have like 2 streaming services for them and it was on. So sweet, they watched it and then...
of course they have Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And they... it was really interesting because all their opinions on the show when I was watching with them was certainly how I felt when I watched it as a teenager. But when I watch it now, I felt totally different.
Yeah, this shit like...
Well, they're like, yo, adults are whack, man.
No, just which ones they liked and which ones they didn't like is so different to how I feel now. But it's how I did feel back then.
Which ones they liked.
It's funny to this is a show that I had kind of completely forgotten about, that like it even existed. But this legitimately, when it was airing week to week, was probably the biggest show in the world. And it was appointment viewing. Like,
yeah.
It was in the era of TV where like people were watching every single week and everyone
aired on
watching.
Thursday nights. I remember it.
I think if I'm not wrong, and I might be wrong here, but I think it would run in the off season of Lost, or run into Lost, maybe. Because Lost was around the same time as this, I think, and I think they were
Lost late night viewing.
No, Lost was prime time. Yeah. Maybe 9:30. I reckon this may be aired at... No, because the Amazing Race... They were both 7. Guys, the Amazing Race led into Lost, so I don't know what I'm even playing at here.
Well, what used to air before Desperate Housewives that started a few years in was Pretty Little Lies, which I feel like is just the plot of Desperate Housewives, but with teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a bit.
Well, I just felt like Desperate Housewives was a clever spin on Sex and the City. Right. It was just another way for them to get those sort of archetypes into a show.
Although it's kind of more about mysteries and secrets.
Very true.
The other thing is this was served as the inspiration for Real Housewives.
Oh, really? So we're jumping into Desperate Housewives. I'm desperate to jump in.
Mm. Yes.
Wait, just quickly, have either of you watched this show? No, you haven't.
No.
I definitely watched parts of the first season for sure. Yeah. I remember none of it though. I do remember like, because this was also heavily promoed as when it was coming out. Like, it was the kind of thing where
big budget show, right?
Big budget. And they'd also do the, at the end of the episode, it was like, I'm not saying it was one of the first, but it would be like at the end of every episode, there'd be like a 15-second promo. It was like, what's in the box? That kind of thing.
Or
like,
oh, fun.
Or like, I remember the what's in the box. What did she do?
Who did he see? And that would run throughout the entire week.
There's someone in the bathroom.
Yeah, seriously. And it would run in every
episode. What's in the box was a big one.
Yeah, well, I think we'll definitely, at the end of this episode, for those of you listening
at home.
They
did that sort of shit in the OC too, right? That was that kind of.
Yeah, but this was like, this was a mystery, this show. Right, whereas the OC, like.
Every season's a different big mystery.
Yeah. Now, if you're listening at home and you're like, hey, I actually really want to watch Desperate Housewives, we're going to do our very best this episode not to do any spoilers, any big spoilers. But at the end of the episode, we're going to treat all the guests that want to hang on at the end, and we're going to spoil everything we possibly can about this episode. Cassie's seen all of it, so we're gonna delve in with questions. We're going to delve in with theories. So just hold on. Hold your horses. Okay?
Chill the fuck out.
I personally will be speckling my theories all throughout as we're talking about it generally, but I'll expect no answers until the end.
No answers to the end. I'll put theories in there as well. Cassie, you're not allowed to put theories because you know what happened.
And in case you're concerned about how long the episode is actually going to run, do not worry. Spoiler Room does actually take up the slot for Cassie's 2 minutes.
Yeah. We would never dare try and put Cassie's 2 minutes at the end of such a red hot episode.
But Cassie,
especially when it's Cassie's suggestion episode. That's too much.
Yeah. Cassie, you don't have to worry though, because it's like, A, you'll get more than 2 minutes and you get to ask and answer questions.
Yeah.
I do like that.
It's a dream come true.
Yeah. And still, you'll have fun with it.
Yeah, I can have fun with it.
Cassie's got a brand new segment, everyone. The Spoiler Room.
Spoiler Room.
All right, let's jump into Desperate Housewives. Okay, you now are walking down a road. In front of you, there are two paths you can take. Robert Frost style. Will you take...
I prefer R.L. Stein.
Okay, well, let's start again.
I choose to turn to page 53 okay. every time.
Get ready. You're now walking towards a spooky cemetery.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
There's two slime paths you can take, covered in slime. One has a spider. You can go down path, the left path, which is Skeleton City.
Page 26.
And Skeleton City is, you know, full of, we talk about Desperate Housewives. But there is a right path, and it is sitting there looking at you, and there's spooky dummies down that road. Oh. And what else does R.L. Stein like? Masks, goo.
A little poodle that is covered in blood.
A blood poodle.
Blood poodle. Yeah, blood poodle.
Yeah. Worms down the right-hand side. And that's
a
segment I like to talk about, call Rumple Talk. It's completely up to you guys. Like, I'm not gonna force you down either road. Like, if you right now you say, no, Mark, we'd like to go down the left hand side, full, and we'll just do Desperate Housewives, and I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not gonna complain about that.
Mark, let me tell you.
But there is that right hand side. I'm just
As I would in an R.L. Stein Choose Your Adventure path book. I will flip back and forth to all pages to see how both go. Okay. Mm. I'll tell you where I would start though. I would start on Desperate Housewives.
Let's jump
in. But if I decide to jump on over to a Rumpelstiltskin, and Cassie, you join right in on this. You just go ahead and fire a question off to Mark.
Yeah.
I do that when I play Solitaire I Peek.
Yeah. It's cheap. It's absolutely cheap.
You just don't know. You're just like, what should I do next without being surprised?
Yeah. I hate that when games give you hints. And then, like, and there's no repercussions for using the hints.
Yeah.
So at first, you're like, no, just give a little hint.
It's like when
all you're doing is hinting. And you're like, what are we doing?
I just pick it up and I put it back down. I say, okay.
It's like they thought putting all the answers upside down of a crossword at the bottom of the page would stump me. But I can, if I stare long enough, read that word upside down and backwards. I can do it.
Yeah.
And I have done it.
Let's jump into Desperate Housewives. We open on voiceover. It's a voiceover of a character named Maggie Sue.
Mary Alice.
Mary Alice.
I like Maggie Sue, though.
Maggie Sue. Maggie Sue, who a lot of you will recognize from Seinfeld as the lady who wears the bra without a shirt. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her name in Seinfeld, but someone's screaming at the podcast right now. So ding, ding, ding. That's one Seinfeld appearance. boob related as well. So we start with her voiceover, and as we start, we do a sweeping shot of Wisteria Lane, which is
beautiful.
The street they all live on.
Yeah, do you think that is just completely a set?
Yeah, it's a set.
Awesome. I love that shit.
Because the entire thing,
it feels
very doll, like a dollhouse. Like
yeah.
You said.
Yeah. And it's like a suburban dreamland. You know, like it's supposed to be the perfect street in the perfect town. That kind
like
of thing.
Like Stepfooty.
For sure. And so.
Well, as a Barbie movie.
Kind of Barbie movie.
For our younger listeners. Yeah, for our younger listeners.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's going around panning its way to the house, which Maggie Sue lives in. and on the way there, we see a couple of the main characters. Like we see Eva Longoria. She's running down the road.
Gabby.
Old Gabs. Is her name Gabby in this?
Gabriella Solis.
Gabriella makes sense.
Gabby doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. The voiceover is basically... Mary Sue's talking about Paggy Say? Is that her name?
Paggy.
Gabby?
No, Paggy Sue.
Mary Alice.
Mary Alice.
Maggie Sue to Peggy Sue.
Still Mary Alice.
Mary Alice. I actually think Gabby should have been called Mary Alice.
Mary Alice Sue.
Mary Alice Sue. Mm. She was spicy in this, wasn't she?
Pass.
Gabby.
Yeah, good
choice.
We'll
play Smash or Pass later.
Let's play Smash or Pass now, Cassie. Okay. Let us play Smash or Pass
now. Actually, let's do it while we go through what the women's like things are. Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, Smash or Pass. Yeah, fucking smash that guy.
He was a movie star.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, dog. Smash that guy.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Who?
I can't keep explaining who she is to you every day.
Who is she?
Who that?
The woman that killed her mother.
Oh, smash.
Smash.
Of course.
She's got all of her teeth.
Going, and it's gone. That's a smash out the park, Cassie.
Run.
Trisha Paytas.
Hard pass.
I'm passing on that one. Dirty laundry.
Oh my God! Look, you love her so much that your dog loves her. I'm getting the stank eye
she's
right now.
Death staring you. I know, sweetie. We love Trisha.
Okay, cool. Well, yeah, we'll come back to this. Martin Luther King.
Smash.
Yeah, go smash him.
Respectful smash.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Smash.
It is with the greatest respect I say yes. I will smash.
Respect to the dead. I will smash that man.
Marilyn Monroe. Pass.
Pass.
Pass. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Boo.
I feel like she called you a lot afterwards.
Oh, she won't shut up.
Yeah.
All right. So we that was one of the best rounds of Smash or Pass we've had so far.
Yeah. Have we ever played that game before? Like, I can't remember.
I think it will be.
But
as a result,
it's one of the best.
And now it's a new segment, Osama guys. It's the year of the segment.
Just Osama bin Laden. Quick Smash or Pass.
How old?
Ooh, current age. So dead. And
respectfully pass.
It was the utmost respect I pass.
It's out of respect.
I'd hate to be disrespectful, but we got him.
We got him.
He's still alive. Huh? They didn't fool me. They're like, 100%. I don't want to get too into it, but they're like, oh yeah, we got him. Don't worry.
We just put it in the water. Don't even worry about it.
He's head of the CIA.
No, we put him in the water. You fucking
what
liars.
A weird choice.
Yeah.
In my job, I work with teenagers and they're not allowed vapes, and they have lied before and been like, I just flushed it down the toilet, and that is US government claiming that they got
one guy.
Who, Osama?
Like,
we flushed him,
dude. I wasn't even planning. He just fell. I was just taking him for a walk.
It was a faulty hatch.
But you know what was the best about that rhetoric that all went on is that they were like, it was respectful when we put him in the water. And it's like,
what if we gave him a watery grave? What are they fucking pirates? Why? Yeah. We made it. Don't worry, gang. We made him walk the plank.
No, he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the head of the CIA.
I think we stand pretty firm as Test Pilot Podcast. We believe that Assam is still with us.
Oh, 100%. And we're glad.
And still, we pass.
Respectfully.
We pass. Yeah.
Respectfully, though.
He's too important.
Yeah. He's busy.
Okay, so we're jumping into Wisteria Lane. Wisteria Lane, big deal, wasn't it? People talked about Wisteria Lane.
Yeah, very pretty name.
Pretty name. Yeah. I didn't know what a wisteria was when I first watched this show.
Flower, right?
It's like you've never listened to Taylor Swift.
It's like I've never. It's accurate. I've heard the hits.
Yeah.
So I want to watch Wisteria grow.
She wears
right over
t-shirts. I wear t-shirts. Everyone on my
t-shirts.
Block, we're all wearing t-shirts. Look at me. It is a basic T form.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like she doesn't even have to come next week with you performing that well.
Is she working here next week? That's what came to my head. Is she working here
next
week?
Yeah, she's on secondment.
She's doing the job.
Yeah, she's doing a job here
next week.
She's
doing a jobby do, is she?
Someone didn't get tickets. And
I'm
that's
going to
me.
Get her. I'm going to snatch her. I'm going to snatch her. Just release this a week late. We'll be golden, yeah, baby. Well, I've got a big guest for us next week, guys. A real big guess, you'll never guess.
She'd be a dud.
What do you think Taylor Swift would pick?
On this show?
Yeah.
Oh, what would Taylor Swift pick?
I don't know. What's she been in, fucking pretentious bitch?
She's never been on TV.
She's never been on TV.
She was in one movie.
I don't buy that.
Valentine's Day.
She's never...
Yes.
Well, she's been on SNL.
Yes.
She has been on SNL. Boom. I was actually listening to an interview with... Do you guys know who Zach Bryan is?
Zach Bryan.
Zach Braff?
Zach Braff.
No.
I'm no Superman.
Garden State?
Disrespectfully pass.
Yeah, I'm going to disrespectfully pass.
Good
on
soundtrack
that as well.
Though, but pass.
Yeah.
No, Zach Bryan, he's a country singer, right? And
Is he a bit of a fat man?
He sounds fat.
No.
Okay.
Oh, is he jacked?
No.
Okay, so just one of them average dudes.
Yeah.
Has had a song with Taylor Swift?
No.
Okay. So why does he matter
to you?
Why
the fuck are you talking about
her? I love his album. Anyway,
yeah.
He was at the Grammys and like they always sit at the front row, people who are going to win.
Yeah.
And he was definitely going to win an award. So he's seated like right next to her.
Yeah. And snatched.
They didn't speak to her, but like whenever.
He would be too nervous to when he knows what he's going to snatch it.
Whenever they're like filming, she would just be sitting there. And then as soon as they'd be like, okay, camera's cut.
Yeah.
Security guard just around her. So like no celebrities would even speak to her or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
And you like her? Even though she sounds terrible.
I don't like
horrible.
Taylor as a person. I respect her and I love her music.
You respect how she's a billionaire and doesn't use any of that money on charity?
I respect her business acumen. And I would respectfully smash.
Well, I think they're just prepping her for the harvest. So,
yeah.
You know, to bring in the good crops. Like they did Britney Spears.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, her downfall.
Rocket
is
fame.
Soon,
they bring her up.
She had a downfall.
Taylor.
It's just like.
Yeah, she disappeared for like 2 years.
I don't remember that.
Are you being serious? There's a whole documentary about it.
True fans heard the B tapes though that she was putting out them B tracks
about B movie.
Yeah,
she's doing B tapes. B E.
She
loves
that woman fucked the B.
Isn't that so funny?
Fucks the one
shot that Seinfeld shot of like, I'm gonna be a kids movie guy now.
Yeah,
it was the biggest flop.
Like in defense to like the watching public. A woman fucks a bee.
Yeah. That's kind of the like.
What?
Well, fucks the bee. Fucks her.
Well, I guess so. But that's the plot. It's about a woman and a bee falling in love. It's horrific. Yeah.
That's wild.
Disrespectfully. Well,
you know what that is?
That's smash.
Oh yeah. No. If I'm getting the option to fuck the bee from Bee Movie,
he's wearing
it.
A little turtleneck.
Oh,
like
hell
I'm
yeah.
sorry, he's asking for it.
Oh hell yeah! That's a hot ass.
Show
bee.
Us your neck if you don't want it.
Yeah. That's almost as desperate as these housewives.
I've always said that. Show us your neck if you don't want it. It just rings true in every language.
It does.
Let's jump into the housewives.
The desperate variety.
As we go along, we will be playing Smash or Pass.
I can't help it. It'll just come out.
Yeah. So we meet Greggy Sue, and she's...
Greggy?
She's doing a voiceover about how, like, everyone... It's following her day-to-day, her life, and talking about how she's got the perfect life. She says that, like, I think she gives, like, a rundown of what she does. Like, she's got, like...
She's like, I'm a housewife, and my kids go to school, and I love my husband.
Yeah.
Kid go to school. Look how perfect it is. Cool. I cooked in.
She's like, I do my chores.
Yeah.
I run my errands.
Yeah.
I
love my bread. I love my butter. But most of all, I love my family.
And then she. But I actually quite liked the way that this scene played out, because like the voiceover as it's her doing these menial tasks and
it's important work,
as it's her caring for her house and her family. It's very like upbeat and Martha Stewart-y. Mm. And then I think the exact line is like, and to my surprise.
She's like, and no one would have guessed that I would.
Because she's kind of talking about herself in the third person.
Yeah. And she's like, she acts like it's a surprise. And I grabbed the loaded gun in my house and pulled the trigger. And
yeah.
She shoots herself in the head. Mm. The neighbor hears it. And the neighbor, who dat?
Martha Huber.
Smash.
Martha
Huber.
Respectfully, smash.
Smash. Yeah. Looks a bit like Dolores Umbridge.
Disrespectfully smash.
Oh, okay. Disrespect your surroundings. Mm. And so she comes up with a reason to go around, and that's by she grabs like a blender that she had lent her a little while back. She hears a noise. She looks in the front room, can't really look, so she goes around the back, and then she looks in and does see the dead body of Cranky Bay lying on the floor.
Blood everywhere.
Blood everywhere.
Coming from her head.
Coming.
respectfully
coming from the head.
Whoa.
And that sets up the big initial mystery of Desperate Housewives from the very get-go. It is
it's not who done it, it's why she done it.
Why she done it?
Why she done it?
Why she done it?
Why she done it?
Keep it to yourself.
And what did she do?
What did she do? And that kind of comes up more at the end, but we got to know what she did and why she did. And who she did.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Who did she do?
Mm. And yes.
And was it respectful or was it disrespectful?
Yeah.
So her character pretty much goes on to narrate the entire show.
What a gig for her, by the way. Like, yeah. I'm assuming we're getting flashbacks from time to time.
Yeah, from time to time. Yeah. Like, and certainly until the end, but it's mostly just the narration. And she has a great voice.
I think we got one or two flashbacks this episode.
Yeah, and I think that's more than you'll get most.
Yeah.
And then
it becomes like one or two a season.
Yeah. She's just cashing those checks, just going into the studio once a week, doing the voiceovers and going home. She'd get paid so fucking much for that.
Yeah.
She's a great narrator too. Like, her voice is so soothing.
Yeah. A cool thing that they do with it is because she seems to have been... I mean, at least from what I saw from the flashback, she seems to have been kind of the head of the ladies in some way.
She was the first woman in that group to live on the lane.
So every time she introduces a character from this point forward, it's kind of like she describes them as the person they put themselves forward as, but then she peels back a layer to reveal who they are underneath a little bit as well. And then I guess throughout the show, that'll just happen more and more and more until they're a husk.
Mm. So,
until they're a husk.
Basically, the police find the body and then we kind of cut to, I think we cut to the opening credits here, maybe that's later, but the important thing is now we cut to her introducing all the main characters of this show.
Oh, there's a little gag of Martha Huber taking off her name off the blender too.
That's right.
Even
though
she's just diving, like, well, I'm going to keep the blender.
Yeah.
Oh, that Martha.
I also expected her in that moment to pick up the phone and immediately be like, you won't believe what I just found.
Yeah. You
know, immediately turning into
Because Martha calls the
something
police,
to talk about.
Yeah, but you think that maybe she goes, that's funny. But we're introducing all the main characters here, and we do this when they're all arriving
at
her wake. So presumably
and it's done by like what food they bring.
It was done really
everyone
well.
Must bring something.
Yeah.
So one by one, they're all coming into her house. They all live on the same street. And one by one, you get a little bit of an explanation of each of the characters. And we start with Lynette.
Felicity Huffman, Jailbird.
Jailbird Felicity Huffman.
Yeah.
Jailbird.
Her character's
name
is...
She went to jail for the college scam, where she scammed her daughter's way into college by like photoshopping photos of her like being on a rowing team and shit.
Nice slicey.
Yeah, and she went to jail.
Respectfully smash.
respectfully
Honestly, smash. Respectfully smash, I think. Yeah. I love Felicity
this
Huffman.
This is the redhead, right?
This is the blonde head.
Oh, the blonde
The
head.
Overworked
right,
mother.
Right, right.
Oh, the
yes, yes.
redhead, like so respectfully smash.
Yeah, respectfully we'll smash that too. I mean, I smash all over, just not whatever I said pass to before, whoever she was.
We'll get. I can't remember, but we'll hey, you'll have your chance to.
I'll pass again.
this is Lynette Scavo. She is a mother of four at this point. Four.
Two twins, a baby, and another kid.
Yeah. Another boy. And
all
she...
boys.
Oh, so it's four
a baby
boys?
Boy?
I thought
the baby was a girl.
The baby was a girl. Sorry, guys.
They,
oh, that's what you said.
She used to be like a marketing executive.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she gets pregnant. And
she was running shit, essentially.
Yeah. And like her husband's really like, oh, you should work from home. And since then, she's been not work from home. You should be a stay at home mom.
Yeah.
And since then, she's been miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And since then, missing like, something in her life. You know?
I quite like the way that the explanation of each of them happens because.
It's all around the food.
It's all around the food. So she brought fried chicken, but she's got a really good recipe in her family for fried chicken, but she actually got it from a fast food place because she's too busy with her kids. And I also like that when the characters talk in there, it does flashbacks of like how they got there. And when her husband talks, it's like her husband's mouth moving, but Peggy Sue's voice coming through. I just thought that was a cool little detail they did.
It's a well done pilot. In my opinion.
So her husband's away and because she's got four children, she ain't got time, so she had to buy that KFC bucket and put it on a plate.
Tom's not all that helpful a man anyway.
Mm.
And then in a daring act of juxtaposition, the next character we meet is Redhead.
Brie Vanderkamp, played by Marsha Cross, also Seinfeld.
Who, she is in Seinfeld?
Yeah, actually so is Felicity Huffman.
Felicity Huffman. Well, Brie, respectfully,
Smash. I think Brie's the hottest. I just want to make that clear.
And now Brie is kind of like the amazing mother of the group. Like she's kind of the amazing woman of the group where they go through all the shit that she does. Yeah, like she
the image of perfection.
Yeah, she comes in with two different baskets full of different treats and stuff for the
family. One's desserts, one's just like breakfast rolls and things because she can't have them going hungry. But she needs the baskets back, Mark.
You see her husband and her two children, boy and a girl, rolling their eyes because they hate their mother.
Yeah, they're teenagers.
Yeah, the voiceover essentially says the perfect wife and mother to everyone who views looking in, but on the inside they don't feel that way about her.
Mm.
Yeah.
Then they're disrespectful brats.
Then from
I hate her kids.
And the food she brings. So the first one brings fried chicken that she didn't make. The second one being Brie, she brings the two baskets of different
something for
and
them
shit.
For later and something for the guests.
Underprepared, overprepared.
Now we're going to cut to the spicy paella. I believe that's the one coming up next, or the red hot paella, and that is from Eva Longoria and her
that's
Gabriella
the
Solis.
Pass.
Respectfully pass.
Aggressive.
Aggressively pass.
Yeah, this is. I'm pretty sure this is who I passed on earlier.
Interesting. And
it was, but respectfully smash. What?
You respectfully smash?
Of course, she's beautiful.
I'm just a little bit different.
Yeah, you built different.
Yeah, bar.
You built different.
You?
If it's good enough for Tony Parker, it's good enough for me.
Who's Tony Parker?
Peter Parker?
Tony Parker is a
Spider-Man?
Multi-championship winning NBA player.
Is that our husband?
Basketball. He was, but then he cheated on her.
Oh, I think I remember this. Yep.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. Get a boy.
Yeah.
Get a boy.
He disrespectfully smashed.
He disrespectfully smashed.
Yeah.
He
really respectfully did. Really smashed. Did. I'd smash him.
I'd smash him too.
Yeah.
She's bringing a paella and we go back into her past a little bit. And
it's a bit of a spicy past.
Spicy past.
Not really. She was a model.
She was a model. And
then a rich dude proposed on the third date. She said, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that sums it up.
Her husband Carlos.
On their way over, Carlos is like, oh, if you can find a way, mention to so-and-so's husband about how much I spent on your necklace.
No, that's later.
Nope, it's here.
And she has no children to be mentioned as well, right?
No children.
The paella, most likely a family recipe. I think she's learning fast that money can't buy you everything, and maybe what she held dear and close to her heart is actually not in fact what she wants, and what she really wanted was some good old-fashioned family values.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait.
Sorry, what just happened?
That was beautiful.
Where did I go?
we don't know, but it was beautiful.
Thank you.
But just let me get my beef off with Cassie here. Probably beef tune.
Fight.
Where's the beef?
So actually in this scene, he does say... mention how much the necklace costs.
No, because she wanted her to mention it to Tanaka and that's later.
Yeah, it happens twice.
Tanaka's not at the funeral.
Yeah, it happens twice.
Tanaka's like a mob boss. He's not at the funeral.
Guys, play the tape back. Because here's the thing. We've done the beef.
Just tag me in.
beef thing, I'll tag you in.
Okay.
No, I tag you in. It absolutely happens twice.
But it's not, the first person is just a guy who, I think it's just one of the neighbors, one of the husbands.
Because he mentions how much like something else.
Yeah. Something else.
He's like, he mentions how much his new car costs or something. And he's like, make sure to mention how much the thing costs.
And then he makes the line about having sex with all of the NFL players.
So Eva Longoria, she's coming across, her and her husband, you can tell that their relationship is dog shit.
I think she says at one point, he's like, keep your voice down. People are starting to notice. She's like, oh no, we wouldn't want them to think we're not happy. And then it cuts away from them and goes to the next.
And this is our last of the main crew of the Desperate Housewives, I believe.
Correct.
And that is Terry Hatcher. The character's name is
Susan Meyer.
And Terry Hatcher, I would say without a doubt.
Survey says,
smash. Respectfully.
Pass.
Smash. I said both.
Yeah.
I said smash.
I find the character of Susan to be the most irritating human being on earth. I want to punch her. I want to punch her so bad.
Is that because you find her the most relatable? And what you're really saying is that you want to punch yourself?
No. Do you guys want to guess who I find the most relatable? Because I think you'll laugh at me and be like, she's not like you at all.
Probably the redhead.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole perfection thing. You think you're a perfectionist.
No, I think it's cool. More she's got teenagers. I work with teenagers and I feel all her grief in watching it. Yeah.
And, right, because you watched this all for the first time in its entirety last year?
No, I'd watched it when I was a kid and I really liked Gabby. And then when
Gabbo. Right.
And when I was watched as an adult last year, I really related to Brie. And I love Brie and I'd do anything for Brie.
So what you're saying is you hate teenagers now?
Yes.
I would say that Terry Hatcher was the star of this show in a way. Especially because I know of the show from the early seasons. I didn't really, because something also to mention about this show, we were saying at the top of this episode that this was the biggest show in the world. It was the biggest show in the world, but it went for 8 seasons. And I would say it was the biggest show in the world for 3, perhaps
max,
4.
She kind of, so like the other women say that she kind of orchestrated being the star of the show because it was supposed to be fairly even.
Yeah.
But when they were doing like magazine covers and stuff like that, she would like insist on staying.
Hey man, it worked on me because I do view her as kind of the face of this show a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know because I don't remember their names. The one with the 4 children, you can sympathize with her a lot.
Lynette.
But I think, if I was watching this as a younger person, I would probably sympathize with her the least because that would be the furthest thing from my mind.
Yeah.
But now the woman we're talking about now, recent divorce, Terry. I don't know. I think she's the one you can sympathize the most just in general.
Yeah. And she's kind of more plot revolving around her in the terms of like leading lady in a show for this episode.
Maybe in this episode, but I don't agree with in general. In general, it's fairly even.
Well, honestly, it might have just been her conniving magazine things because I do remember her as being like the star of this show.
Yeah, no, in the actual show, it's pretty even between the 4 women who have like major plots.
Yeah, okay, cool. But
Sex in the City.
But certainly I kind of never cared about any of her plots.
Yeah, her whole thing is she's just recently got divorced within the last year or something
and
like that.
And she's desperate for cock.
She's desperate for
love.
Love.
There it is. And
she
respectfully.
She brings macaroni and cheese that she knows is
burnt,
very bad.
Burnt macaroni and cheese and then goes into a little bit of
undercooked.
Burnt and undercooked. And then it goes into a little thing of just her husband being like mentally abusive, just not liking her food and then cheating on her for a secretary and leaving.
Yeah.
Now,
and it's got a bit of a what's that show where it's like the two, it's like the mother and daughter.
Gilmore Girls.
They've got that kind of vibe.
For sure.
She's like she's like significantly younger
it's
than
actually,
I think the Gilmore Girls.
Now pretty much defined as emotional abuse to rely on your kid as the therapist in that way.
There you go. Now we did kind of touch on it a little bit before, but like this show's been very clever in the way that it's used each of the food to kind of be a metaphor for them as people. Like you've got the fried chicken that's like just, you know, thrown together on a plate to happen quickly. And then you've got the perfect looking muffins and shit, like just to showcase.
Yeah, it's like
how
has no time for
is.
Herself. The level of polish to where she's ignoring her family in a different kind of way.
I disagree that she ignores her family, but
and then you've got the spicy paella for the character that's a little bit more like spicy than the rest of them. Like
right,
like definitely. She's an ex model who, spoiler alert, sleeping around and things like that.
Uh-oh.
And then we've got the macaroni and cheese. It's kind of
divorcee.
The leftovers girl.
A bit leftovers.
Single mum
trying to get it all together. Knows it's not perfect, but, you know, it's still going to get served.
Cassie, is your argument for Redhead that everything she does is for her family?
I don't think she's neglecting them in any way.
Because you think everything she does at the heart of her is for them? Not for other people to be like, look at what she's doing. I'm just curious.
Because that's
the vibe they're putting out about her, that it's like this level of polish is to just be like, look at me, look at my life, look at my family.
No, I think what they're more saying, but this comes from watching the whole show, is that her level of polish comes from deep insecurity, that if she doesn't keep everything perfect, no one would see value in her.
I think that kind of shines a bit later on in the episode as well. But we'll get there.
Yeah, and not like putting her emotions on anyone. That's unladylike.
But they're all meeting up to go to what was essentially one of their best friends' wakes. They all sit at a table together.
To be fair, the only one that really seems to care is Terry.
Terry Hatchett's pretty.
It is all their best friend though. They're just
a bit too. Not
great I'm just people. Saying there might be a reason that Terry was considered like the main character.
Yeah.
By Mark.
And I literally do like television pilot analysis for a job. I think I know what I'm talking about.
Because they kind of put her out as like sort of the nicest one.
Bro, she was the star of the show. At least
in season
one. Well,
she just has more of a plot of this episode.
Yeah, but in season one, she was the star of the show.
Right. Yeah,
and I say that having seen the first episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's...
Well, I squint at you from across the room.
Well, because the character that we're going to meet almost immediately now, right, is the guy that pops up. Yeah.
First, we'll just quickly hit the thing that they all sit at this table, this round table with, five seats there. Yeah. And there's one seat that is unoccupied.
And then we get a sweet, sweet flashback.
We get a sweet flashback that's showing that Peggy Sue was the one who kind of was comforting Terry Hatchett when her husband left her. And all of the girls were around the table together helping each other.
Yeah.
And so it's just showcasing.
Terry Hatchett, which is just you mixing up Terry Hatcher and Terry Pratchett.
I'm not going to stop.
Yeah, okay,
I'm not going to stop.
Have fun.
So it's all of them at the table. And it's, I guess, the only purpose of this scene is showing that they are actually good friends together and they do care for each other.
Yeah.
Because...
And they have a lot of history.
I think it would be very easy for this show in this pilot episode to have not shown a connection between any of them, which they don't do pretty much any time bar this scene.
Mm.
And that's why it is kind of important, because... Or else you would just be thinking that like
they're women that live on a street together,
and because they are women, you'd assume they're all like selfish bitches. Well, you know?
the woman that kills herself, was she? Does it come out later in the show that she seems kind of like the matriarch? She was the glue that sort of brought them together.
Yeah, well,
she
was the first one to live on the lane in their little five group of friends. Yeah.
Right. So she, as one would move in, she'd be like, "Come on over."
Yeah, and then exactly. It built from
there.
Yeah,
and then okay. I guess we'll go into the fact that one of the other main cast of this show was not part of their five.
Mm.
So I guess that
she lived a little bit. She lived around the corner.
Lived around the corner on Slut Street.
Slut Street.
And so, yeah, basically this wake, a couple of things happened at the wake. One of them is that Terry Hatchett.
Why did you have to bring it to his attention?
I can't stop Terry Hatcher.
Yeah.
Hatcher, like an egg.
Yeah.
She hatches eggs. Yeah. Terry hatches eggs. Hatcher.
So Terry Egg, she finds a fella at this wake, and the fella's name is...
Mike Delfino.
Mike Delfino.
Who just moved in and is at the wake.
Good point.
I mean, he's like,
I just saw a bunch of people in this house. I thought I'd come in and start eating.
Street party!
But the second I saw him and he started talking and saying who he is and what he does, I was like, okay, lie. He's clearly just lying.
Well,
who the fuck is this guy?
I live at the old Sims house. Like, why does he know their names?
And who the fuck are the Sims?
Yeah.
Well, he lives in their house.
I live down at the old Sims house.
Oh, the old Sims house. You can trust me.
You don't want to go to that house. Why, tonight's the anniversary.
People say it's haunted. basically he gives fuck eyes to old Egg Hatchett, and she's she's excited because
she ain't got no dick in a while.
And he makes a line. He says a line about, "I'm a plumber. If you ever need your pipes clean," and she's like,
Yeah.
"I could use a couple of pipes clean there, my boy."
We all did. He's a handsome man, respectfully smashed.
He's got muscles.
I don't know what muscles makes in his arms.
Gorge.
I don't know what makes a man handsome.
I think
I'm just too straight.
I think he's pretty much like
it's not it at all. I think Mark's really handsome.
You want to know my basis for thinking if men are handsome or not? And I think this clicks. If you look at a dude and you're like, and you'd be like, you know, I think I'd like to look like that.
Yeah.
That's when you know they're handsome to you, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Fair. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to look like Mark.
Yeah.
A lot of people try. All you have to do is have no discernible features. Have to really plant glasses on and grow a silly balloon. Facial hair.
I think now draw a face on it.
Don't bother with drawing. You've already done the job.
I think, as my best friend said, generic faced fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So rude. I'll fucking fight that person.
The best thing is.
Who said it?
Dan.
Oh. I won't fight Dan.
No, he's too sweet.
If I ever do a crime, they'll put me in a police lineup and the person will just stand there and be like,
"How'd you get all these twins?"
I don't know what's going on here, but I can't even see their faces. They all look the same.
Why'd you put these sheets of paper on mannequins?
Is that what just the emoji?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You gotta when you look like me, you gotta make a hat your thing. You gotta become a hat guy. That guy always wears hats.
Yeah.
Oh, small beanie, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at that and I'm not looking at
He's got a small beanie. Always nice shoe.
He must be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, his shoes are nice.
I wonder why that beanie's so small. I'm going to go find out.
Where'd he go? I just took off the beanie.
Did you see
Mark's, the guy went missing.
Did you see Mark's new sneakers? I did. I did.
Who's Mark? okay, so this attractive man wants to smash. She wants to smash him. And also something important to note here is that Terry Hatch, Egg's daughter, she notices the exchange between the two.
Yeah.
And
she's really invested in her mom getting some dick.
Yeah. The wake ends for Felicity Huffman. For her because her
Martha Huber comes along. And she's all like, "Do you know what your kids are doing?" Because Martha, she's a busybody.
She's the busybody of the group. And Felicity, she goes outside and sees that her kids are swimming in the pool. She says that's inappropriate, tries to get them out. They refuse. So she gets in the pool and pulls them out. And so she has to leave the wake. She says apologies to the husband on the way out. And by the husband, I mean the husband of Teggy Sue's, the one who killed herself.
Paul Young.
Can I rewind? Sorry. Because yes, you mentioning the husband just immediately made this strike my mind like a lightning bolt. When they're sitting around the table.
Okay?
No, well, I think I'm stroking out. Yeah. Mid-stroking here.
But there's only a little bit of foam coming out of your mouth.
This is commitment to the pod, though.
Now, while
I may
be stroking right now, can I just say that I think I'm having a stroke of brilliance. No, so when they're sitting around the table and there's the five seats and one's empty, that scene, when Terry's sitting there going, she killed herself. Why would she do that? They did the most ridiculous zoom out to the husband just listening to women grieve normally, questioning why she would do something so drastic. And he goes,
a little cranky
face. And it's just like, why are you fucking fist fucking me with this information of like the husband seems to be up to something. What's he hiding?
Now, before Cassie goes into spoiled territory, what I'm going to say about this show is I'm not positive if this is true. But I think something that this show does is they throw out a lot of
red herrings.
I think there's a lot of this show where it's like there's a lot of scenes where people are looking suspicious that are just going to be nothing.
Just like the character embodiment of like twisting your mustache.
Right. Yeah. I immediately assumed that with the husband at one point, he's going to be confronted with like, "Did you kill her? Or what did you do?" And he's going to say, "You're right, I did kill her. Because I'm gay and that information drove her to shoot herself." Something like that.
Something
you know,
like that.
Where
I think it will be like layers on layers he'll be guilty because they don't hide it. Like when Felicity is pulling her kids out of the pool, she apologizes to the husband, but then the voiceover is like, "But Paul had other things to worry about under the surface."
Shittiest filter ever.
It's like the camera's underwater looking
just
at
just shoot
him
underwater.
Just do it. Just do it.
Just fucking do it.
Okay, so now we've gotten past the wake. We've got introduced to what is four of the main cast of five, I would say. But I actually don't know if this other housewife was as big, if she was like considered a cast.
No, she, her and like Martha Huber are kind of like side characters side on the characters. Street.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. So after the wake, it's time to jump into the lives of all the different housewives. Now, I will say,
slices of these desperate pies.
Well, I will say that this pilot, the all the different stories of the housewives don't really intersect again.
Yeah.
Until the very end of the episode. Like I think they're all in a scene together here, and then they all have their own separate things.
Yeah,
it's kind of more of an introductory episode,
because I'm sure they're all going to get dragged back to why she done it.
Yeah,
some point.
Yeah.
Well, that happens right at the end.
I think we can probably just pick one and go bing 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 through the storylines rather than trying to interweave them together.
Sure,
because I don't remember the sequencing of this episode.
I think let's start with Susan then.
Susan, and just call her by
Terry Hatcher.
Terry Hatcher. So we're gonna jump into Egg Hatchett's storyline now. Now her daughter, directly after the wake, kicks a ball into the backyard of the funky plumber man.
Big schlong Delfino.
Yep. Big schlong Delfino. She knocked on the door.
She saw them having a flirt at the old wake, perfect place to do it.
And was like, I just got to get my mother laid.
Yes.
So she kicks a ball in the backyard. She gets led into the backyard. And then there's a pretty hard cut to her talking to her mum, being like, he's single. He
just moved from LA.
Yeah. She's giving all the goss on him. And the mother's, we don't really have to go into it, but the mother's doing some drawing because her job is she draws
children's book illustrator. Yeah.
And so she gets told this information, and then the daughter convinces her to go over and start talking to Mike Delfino. And the way she does
the information that she gives her is interesting as well. He's renting for like tax purposes. Don't know what that means. His wife just died, and he couldn't bear to stay in the same town.
So now, with the passing of his previous love, it's time to swoop.
It's time to swoop. And the way that the daughter convinces her to go over is she basically goes, she tells a story about how her dad asked.
Her dad's secretary girlfriend said, is she dating? Do you think she's dated anyone since you guys got divorced? And he said, fucking doubt it.
And they laughed.
Hard cut to her walking across the street.
Can I just say though, dead on. He was right.
Oh, he was right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. And at one point,
he sounds kind of funny.
He sounds kind of funny, kind of clued in. I mean, like, you know.
I like Carl. There's a gag here too when she goes to her mom, how long has it been since you had sex? And then she doesn't say anything.
So uncomfortable. I didn't enjoy that delivery.
And she says, did that question make you uncomfortable? And she's like, no, I'm just trying to remember.
Just funny shit. Something about the show is it was pitched to all the networks as a comedy, and every network passed on it. And then they redid it and changed the tone of the show to be a dark comedy, like a dark mystery comedy. And then it got sold and it, you know, became quite big. So this originally was like a straight comedy.
Oh.
That didn't really work, I guess.
Didn't have a murder mystery at the start?
I don't think so at all. I think it was like, look at these crazy housewives. Because it was like based on his mum, who's like a housewife.
Right, thank God they rejigged it.
How mean to call his mum desperate.
Well, originally it was called like Hot Fuckable Housewives.
Right, right, right.
And that's even worse because it was based on his mom.
Yeah. It's weird. Hen's coop.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy shit. So she goes across to Mike Delfino and she's doing a bit of a flirt, introducing
voice
him
over's
to the
like, what luck. She's going to be the first person to introduce herself on the street.
Then all of a sudden we meet the fifth housewife.
I call her Trish.
Trish,
the dish.
The dish.
Bung.
Nicole Sheridan was her name, I think.
Nicolette Sheridan.
Nicole Sheridan. Is that the girl from Pussycat Dolls?
Yes.
There we go. This is not a Pussycat Doll.
He's got pussy on the mind.
He's got
ladies
pussy
and
on
gents.
The mind. She comes around and.
No, that's Nicole Scherzinger.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, don't ask them.
Yeah.
Scherzinger.
How dare you answer my question?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
this lady's being played as kind of like the neighborhood
slut.
Yeah. For lack of a better word, like fucking slut.
She's got the tits pushed up so high.
She's got the tits.
Push
up so high.
The barely existing breasts, might I add, though. They're not like she's.
No, they're real fake boobs.
Oh, they're real fake boobs?
Yeah.
So Nicole has a bit
Nicolette.
Nicolette.
Or Edie.
Nicolette.
So Nicolette
Nick- God, the stroke was contagious.
So Nicolette has, she comes to the door as well. Because she,
like, ding dong, I've come to fuck you.
Yeah, she's not very subtle. She's like,
I actually also have pipes if you want to fuck them.
Yeah, yeah.
And she then starts screaming, disrespectfully smack.
Because Terry brought.
What was it? I'm gonna snatch him. No, she's like, I'm gonna snatch him. I'm gonna snatch him.
You gotta snatch. Because Terry brings a plant, whereas this woman brings just some sort of fancy dish.
Yeah. She wants to smash him, and basically, it's game on now. It's
she's like a little bloodhound. She smells a single dependable man in the wildest.
Both of them want the man, but they both can't have the man.
No.
And so
she thinks it's going to be fair play. Old Terry does.
Yeah.
But then bloody Trish the Dish turns around and says, you're a plumber, right? Come over tonight and fuck me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Essentially, I think that's line.
Yeah.
For line.
Yeah, yeah, that's line for line.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, rants. I'm going to have to try.
I'm
going to have to try hard now.
Now, I think the next time we see old Terry Hatcher is just pretty much the same circumstance. Like, she decides to go over again and ask him out this time.
Yeah, but as she's about to ask, she's like, I've got something to ask you. Nicolette Sheridan comes out from the back and she's like, what do you have to ask?
So, yeah, she was
inside. And they never really
say
what she's doing there, do they?
Well, no, because she's like, oh, I have a pipe. Oh, Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah.
No, he was saying she made him, she had leftover ambrosia. I don't know what that means.
No, me neither.
And I think about that a lot.
Right, so she just swings by to give it to him.
To give him the ambrosia, which we don't know what that is, but yeah. I assume it's respectfully smashing.
Yeah.
And she's drinking a beer.
Yeah, because
which
she's
is so
cool.
Fucking cool.
She's actually cool. Kind of fucking like down to earth as well.
Like my chick doesn't drink beer.
No.
And it's like sometimes I just wish I could see her crack a can and just have like a drink with the guys.
Dude, backwards hat. Beer,
yeah.
Oversized flannels,
just full Alex Mack in it, and just, like,
oh god,
yeah, but
Alex
oversized
Mack.
Flannels, but just your undies,
yeah,
or the man's boxers,
yeah,
what? Mm.
No, I don't want because my not after I've worn them, especially,
no, I'm gross down there,
I'm so gross,
I'm so gross,
if I'm not sweating,
I've worn men's boxers before
after they've worn them,
I don't know.
So Terry Egg Hatchet, she's fucked up. Because she's come to this door. This is the second time she's come to the door. This time, Nicolette Sheridan is inside, and she's like, "Oh shit!" And then then Nicolette's like, "What are you doing here?" And then Mike Delfini says, "Oh, she's got a question to ask me."
So stupid. Read the fucking room.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Terry can't be embarrassed here.
Yeah,
she can't be embarrassed here. So she goes,
worked it out, but I don't know that Mike's the smartest guy.
Oh, I do have a question.
Oh, because he's a plumber.
I mean, like, don't get me started, but it's all just pipes. It's all fucking pipes.
And they're gunky.
It's not hard.
I just don't think that he wouldn't have picked up on signals at any point from their interaction at the wake to her coming over solo bolo to be like, hi, welcome. And
but
then
he wouldn't humiliate her by that, like that, being like, Susan has a question. Let's laugh at her together.
I think it came out of stupidity, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe it didn't. Maybe
if they're
maybe
riding
he just
him
doesn't want to.
But he's not stupid, right? Because he's obviously lying about his whole shtick. So he's got some mystery bullshit going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we'll get more.
Answer me
that.
Now, Cassie. Break the rules.
No, in the spoiler room.
Yeah, we'll address it in the spoiler room. But I'm trying to make her break the rules.
We gotta run our way
he
to
likes
this.
It if, when
hey,
I,
guys.
I'm being a Knievel little
if
gremlin.
If you wanna get to the spoiler room, I'm gonna need you to be good boys and girls for the next 10 minutes.
Let's do this.
We have
a heart out.
We have some stuff. We've got a heart out today.
I got my heart out.
So he agrees to basically Terry's like bit panicked here and she has to come up with a reason why she came. She says, oh, I've got a block in my pipe. And then they shut the door and she runs across and they start shoving stuff
her
down.
Her and her
pipe.
Daughter, they're just clogging the shit up.
Yeah, like hair, popsicle
And she
sticks.
Breaks her daughter's fucking history
oh, yeah, her
project that she's working
history.
Hard on.
You
yeah.
see, Susan's a selfish little cunt. I hate her.
Well,
Susan, if you're listening
she's
to this,
got charisma, uniqueness.
Be Nerve and talent.
Be better. Next up, and that's essentially the end of her story until we get to like
But we're doing her whole story right now.
What else happens?
Because then, so he comes over, he fixes the pipe, and then she's talking to Martha Huber later, and she's like, oh, I'm taking Edie's son tonight.
Yeah.
Because she's having.
What the fuck am I doing? I'm just like, hey, we did one scene. Let's call it a day.
Wrap it up. Wrap it up before the most interesting thing that happens. happens.
Oh, I talked about the two conversations
a
she had.
A potential plot point for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
What the fuck am I talking about?
Yeah, so she bumps into Martha Huber, who's like, oh, I've got Edie's son tonight because she's having a man over and I think they're going to be making noise all night or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Woo. So
then as the sane, respectable human being that she is, she immediately more or less breaks into.
Well, no. She does the same thing from the start where she's like, what can I return to Edie? And she doesn't have anything of Edie's, so she just decides she's going to return to her own.
No, she goes to try and borrow sugar.
Oh, yes, that is it.
She walks in the door. Yep. She's like, I just need sugar.
And there's candles everywhere. Yeah.
She lets herself into her home.
And they're fucking upset.
Just to clarify, I don't know if it might be me that's dumb, but I assume our audience is also dumb.
Morons.
What we're explaining is that Terry believes that tonight Sluts McGee is in... She has seduced Mike Delfini.
She's getting the pipes cleaned.
And she's getting the pipes cleaned because of what the old lady had said in the supermarket. And so now she has to book it there, find a reason to get in there to stop them from fucking. But by the time she gets there, you can hear the noises upset. They're already fucking.
And so she makes herself at home.
Yeah, she has to sit on the couch. She sits down, eats some chocolate.
Picks up some underwear, does the old Kobe behind the shoulder, hits a candle. Now the house is on fire.
Very much on fire. And you know what she does?
Bails.
Runs away.
She's like,
instead of, I mean, look, the easiest lie, oh my God, I saw that your house was on fire and I've ran in here to make sure you're okay.
So true.
Dude, that is such a reasonable lie.
Yeah. Free.
Yeah. You'd run
upstairs. Out of jail free. Yeah. Just like, holy shit, are you okay?
Your house is on fire.
I tried throwing alcohol at it, but it didn't work.
Yeah. But instead, she's like, well, this woman's dead.
Yeah.
I got to get out of here. You know that guy I've been crushing on? It's a shame he's about to die.
Yeah. She heard, oh my God, what's going on? And she went, I'm out.
So, and then we get to the final scene with Susan where she's standing outside with all the other ladies. They're watching the house burn.
She's pretending that she was never in the house.
She's like, oh my God.
So
like, you look
but
like,
so
you look,
badly.
Her friends go, you look like shit. What's going on with you? She's like, oh, I'm just so worried about her.
Yeah.
And then Big Dick Gabalagoosh walks up and...
Mike Delfini walks up. So he wasn't in the house.
Oh my goodness.
And she starts saying, he goes, are you okay? And she's like, yes, everything's okay. Everything's okay now.
I didn't commit arson. You're alive.
Yeah. Like she didn't just burn down a woman's home.
Yeah. Yeah, and then to wrap up his sort of story of the first episode, he then goes back into his house, picks up a phone and just says, yeah, I'm close to get the mystery thing about me. I'm close to it. And he pulls a gun out of his waistband and puts it on the table.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, is he a criminal? Probably a cop. Yeah. Let's be real, everyone.
Yeah, he's probably a cop.
Probably a detective. Probably
Detective Delfini.
Researching some bullshit.
Yeah.
His name's not Delfini. It's Gabba Gabba.
Well, it's not. It's Mike Delfino.
That doesn't.
It's Mike Discapita Scooch, and yeah, whatever pasta sauce. So
that's the end of that.
That's the wrap
plot line. The other ones are a lot quicker because that, as I said, she's the main character in this show. So hers was the kind of the most intricate plot line. We can really go through which one's the shortest one. Like we can go through fucking Felicity Huffman's pretty quickly.
I was about to say Lynette's the shortest.
Like all hers is her kids are annoying for the whole episode.
Yeah.
At one point she calls her husband and is like, hey, if you don't answer the phone soon, I am going to get on a plane and bring these kids to you on your work trip.
Yeah.
This shit isn't acceptable. Eventually he comes home and it's like, whoa, the kids, and they're all excited.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to fuck your mom.
He gives him a football to go play outside. Then he goes up to fuck the mom.
They do fuck a lot.
While she's got baby vomit on her
face. She's got baby vomit on her face. And
he's
then,
insatiable, that man. He will not stop fucking
And
her.
Then she's like, oh, by the way, like I was having like a flare up from the pill.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wear a condom. And he's like, nah, let's just risk it. And then she's like, no, we're not going to.
She hard clocks him in the face with her left hook.
That's right. Yeah. She gives him a punch because another time in this episode, she runs into someone she used to work with as well.
And the supermarket.
The person's like, oh my God, how's being a mother? And there's like a voiceover saying that like, this is a question that she always fears answering because she doesn't know the answer if she's happy being a mother.
Well, I think the answer is no.
Well, I think she says because it's not the answer people want to hear.
Right. Yeah. And also moments before that same woman says to her, we always said that if you never stopped working here, you'd be running the place by now.
Yeah.
And that's not lost on Lynette either.
She wanted to be a career woman, but she's living a life she doesn't love. And I let's assume by season three, she like gets back in the workforce, I assume. Like
she's a bit of a dummy mummy.
But she hits her husband because... it's because he's like, he's like, what's the risk? Like, if we have another kid, who cares? And she's like, what?
You so literally. She, so she in away. That moment goes, I'm a domestic abuser.
I'm gonna domestic abuse.
Yeah, you brought up the possibility of having more children, so I'm gonna
domestic you,
destroy you,
and just hard punches it, and then he rolls over and he's like, ouch.
Is that the end of her plot? I believe.
Yeah.
Now let's get into a bit of a more juicy one in the middle.
The spice?
And the bit of the spicy
get
one.
A bit spicy.
And this is Gabby's plot line. Her and her husband are they're in a relationship that's not going very well. And they're very mean to each other as well.
Especially yeah, Carlos's she's a character wife. Changes season two
because they make him less mean.
Yeah, I guess they thought they couldn't sustain it. But when I rewatched, I was just shocked at how horrible he is.
Yeah, like
because he becomes
mean.
Quite a lovable character.
Because it's like she's like, hey, he's like, oh, we've got this dinner tonight, and she's like, oh shit, you know the guy there always touches my ass, and he's like, well, he pays me money so he can touch you if he wants.
And there's like scenes in the first season where he like grabs her wrist and leaves bruises and things like that. And then
who's gonna believe you?
And then season two, they're like, Carlos is fun now. What are you guys talking about?
He's fucking cool, actually. Yeah.
Forget about that
Have you seen his motorbike? It's fucking cool.
He actually loves her heaps, and you should feel bad that he's getting cheated on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a big thing of her plot line, and this was actually like I remember this being like a big deal as well.
And I got to say, we're not in the teeny verse, but boy, did we get a part of
we
the
got
teeny
close,
verse
yeah.
here.
Yeah. So they have a, they've got a gardener who, a young boy who comes around and mows the garden. And essentially every
boy,
time.
Boy, does he, huh?
Every time.
He's mowing that grass.
He cuts the grass.
Yeah.
Every time the husband goes away, they fuck. And it starts with the husband being like, I told you to get rid of that plant last week. And then the kid's like, I haven't had time. Hint, 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 hint.
Yeah.
They fuck. And they do a thing in this episode where whenever they
and
fuck.
And I can't stress enough, the gardener is a high school student.
High school student,
she is a grown woman.
But they do a thing in
but
this.
But he's 18?
Like,
is that the, that's the.
No. He is 17.
Oh. Yeah.
It a crime.
Okay.
It a real crime.
But it chill.
And also there's a power imbalance because she is his employer.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
And they always fuck in front
bit
of like
a double
stando,
you know? It's just always fun.
Like
they
do. On the nosiest street in the world, they fuck with like the windows open and the blinds completely not drawn, like completely in view for everyone.
To fast play it, she fucking and then they go to the party. They go to the party and then at the party, right before they leave the house, he's like, this fucking grass is not cut. I'm going to fire this kid tomorrow.
The other thing to note that doesn't come up in this episode, she's friends with the kid's mother.
Oh, that's sick.
It's hilarious.
So gross.
But that was a funny scene because he's like, I'm going to fire the kid because he's not even mowing the lawns.
Yeah.
And so then she, at the party, again, she pays a waiter to completely keep her husband's drink up all the time. And then she bails from the party, goes home, mows the lawn herself, and then
in
comes
a gown
back
and
to the party.
Stilettos.
Again, to what you just said on the nosiest street.
Yeah.
On the planet.
People would be seeing
mows
that.
Her lawn.
And it's quiet. You're like, oh, who's mowing their lawn at like 11 p.m.? Yeah. Oh, it's just Gabby in heels and a dress.
And so the next morning when he like wakes up, he's like hungover and he's walking on the lawn and he like looks down. He's like, what the fuck?
I guess it was dark.
Yeah.
And then the last.
There is one thing though, when she's smoking a cigarette and he goes, can I have one of them? She goes, no, you're too young. And I'm like, maybe too young to fuck then.
Yeah,
that should
sure.
be your indicator. If you can't share a cig,
you can't
don't fuck them.
True.
Yeah.
Now the last one is Brie, played by
Marsha Cross.
Marsha Wallace is one of the voices on Simpsons.
Even
you have to admit that.
You know what, Mark? I stand corrected. I do admit that. Again, Brie is my all-time favorite. So it starts off with her at dinner.
Yeah, and her family are just assholes to her.
They are. So that's why I disagree with you, Kale, that she's neglecting them.
They want hamburger. They want hamburger.
So
they want fries.
Like, did you like your usubuko?
Yeah.
And he's like, it's fine. The teenage son, who, this is surprising to the show, is in all 8 seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought he'd be gone episode 2.
Yeah, no. The girl goes off and lives her life, but he's just around ragging on his mom.
Yeah.
And he's like, it's fine, or it's like, all right. And she's like, I spent 3 hours on that.
I get it though, because like, bitch, I didn't ask you to fucking spend 3 hours on this Osobuco.
No. Okay, so as someone who works with teenagers, the I didn't ask you to,
I guess,
comes up a lot in my life, and I'm like, who are you? I look
it's not,
care
it's
about
not, it's not yeah, hard for him teenagers. To go like, it tastes good.
McDonald's chicken nuggets.
So yeah, her son's a little asshole to her. The only thing she drops here, a very important piece of information, because her daughter's like, you never make us, like, you make us weird soup. Why don't you make us French onion or another soup? And then she's like, your father is deathly allergic to onion.
Foreshadowing is hard. Foreshadowing.
The other thing that happens is she says to Rex, her husband, she says,
Rex?
Yeah.
Toy Story.
Fucking stupid.
What's he's like, Rex, what's that short for? Tyrannosaurus? Like, fucking what, dude?
Honestly, what is Rex short for?
I'm working on a Type 5.
It's pretty good.
The other thing that happens that I think's of note is that she says to him at one point, Rex is the head of this household. Do you want to interject? And he's like, past the soul.
Yeah, he's a fucking, he's like, a comedian.
He's the fucking He's kind
of the
worst.
Comedian of the bunch.
When that happened, I turned to Mel and I went, wrecked. She appreciated that.
I like it.
Yeah.
We should get Mel's ratings. Just any time she watches it with you, can you just tell us what she rates?
Yeah, of course.
It.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. Yeah. So nothing really happens in this plot line except for later on they go out to dinner.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the middle where her son just wrecks her again. And then she goes out to dinner with her family at like a place that you wouldn't expect them to go.
Like a Sizzlers.
Because I think what she's doing here is she's...
Well, she even says that. She's like, the kids wanted a change of pace. Yeah. I'm a good mum. Of course I would
she
do that.
She is a good mum.
Yeah, but the fact that she talks about it like that is gross.
You're gross.
Okay. I'm just saying it's like it's weird behavior. And it
respectfully?
But respectfully.
Boss.
Respect me.
No, God, no.
Okay.
Smash all day.
Thank you. Jesus Christ. I'm trying to put my cum in a jar for you. I'm just like, what am I? No, but like respectfully, I know it comes from a place of insecurity and all that stuff is tragic and sad, but I don't get that immediately right now. Spoiler room.
Okay.
So she sends her kids away to go do something.
The dad
else.
Does. He's like, you go play video games.
Video games.
Well, yeah. He undermines her and it's disgusting.
So they're alone.
Who the fuck wants to hear when they're at a cool place? No, you have to sit here and tell me about your day.
I'm sorry. I'm so triggered by her storyline from working with teenagers.
You are anti-kid, man.
I mean, as adults, you get it. But as kids, it's like, there's video games here. Yeah. I'm not going to sit and talk to you, mum.
Well, it's like, it doesn't matter if it's the right call. You back the call of your partner.
Right. True, but what if?
No.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay.
But what if it's Time Crisis 2?
Yeah, that's true. That game's bomb.
Because respectfully, smash.
Bree sends her family away. By family, her kids. Well, she doesn't. She's like, you can't go play video games.
Sends
and
him
the
to
husband's
play
like,
Time Crisis.
Get the fuck out of here. Go play. As soon as the kids leave, the husband's like, I want to get a divorce.
Yeah.
To which she kind of ignores.
then a guy goes, salad bar's open. She's like, ding, ding, ding.
Well, she says, I'll go make your salad because she's a good wife. Yeah.
While she's over there, the same lady that's, what's her name?
Martha Huber.
Martha Huber kind of distracts her, but does she distract her?
And she puts onions in the salad.
She puts onions in the salad. The husband collapses because he's deathly allergic. The next time we see her is at the
hospital
with him. And he does accuse her. He's like,
thanks for trying to murder me.
Yeah, because he's like, you know. She's like, no, I was just distracted. And then eventually she goes off into the bathroom and she cries in there.
Yeah, and the voiceover says that she's not going to allow this to stop her from having her perfect life.
Yeah.
And then she comes out and she's just like, because she's watered the flowers and she's just going to deny.
Yeah. And that's why you cry in bathrooms.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to keep that facade that everything's fine.
But the point is that she comes out and won't let anyone know that she's been crying. And that's kind of all of their different plot lines. And then that all culminates in them at the wake. Something that happened at the wake, important to note, is at some point, one of the people said to Egg Hatchet, they said, her husband wants us to come by and get his clothes.
Get
her clothes and deal with them because he can't do it right now. So they all go around the house to get all her clothes and deal with them. I guess that means give them to charity or something like that.
Yeah.
On their way out, a piece of paper falls out. It's a letter and it's they pick it up.
I can read it verbatim.
Please do.
I know what you did. It makes me sick. I am going to tell.
Yeah, it's so childish.
Very childish.
I'm going to tell.
However, important to note that the front of the letter was dated on the day that she died.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she read that, tidied up her house a little bit, grabbed the revolver. Night-night.
And they say, do you think this is why she killed herself? And then one of them goes, and this was used in promos for like years, Mary Alice, what did you do?
Yes, yes. And then the very, very final scene is the pool has been drained.
Zach wakes up, the son of Mary Alice, yes. And they like to hear a very familiar noise.
Right, so it's like whenever this was originally, whatever's down there was originally put there, he woke up as a young boy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so he walks down and he sees that the pool's been drained. And it was important to say that earlier on in the episode, his dad was looking over the pool when the kids were swimming in it. The pool's been drained.
Yeah, like what if the ground accidentally opens up?
It's true.
It's horrendous foreshadowing all throughout this episode. It's like there's something beneath the surface of the water. What do you mean in the pool?
The second episode is called Ah, But Underneath.
Oh, there we go.
What a shit title.
I know, it makes me laugh every time.
What a shit title, Ah, But Underneath.
Yeah.
But he's digging in the pool to get something, but you don't quite see what it is.
What's in the box?
In the box?
It's dildos.
It's a lot of dildos.
Guaranteed.
Now, it's like, I know you robbed that dildo store.
Rating or spoiler room first?
We'll do ratings first. And so that leads us into, that's a pilot episode of Desperate Housewives. We kind of went a bit janky there, but it's a hard one to do sequentially because none of the real storylines intersect that much. So there was a little bit... We had to jump up and get down. But that leads us on to ratings for the pilot episode of Desperate Housewives. Cassie, what are you giving this one?
Respectfully, 9.
Whoa. Any reasoning or you're just gonna smash it and go?
I just think it's great. I think it's a great pilot. I think it sets up everything really well. There are some dialogue things that piss me off, and that's why I lost a point.
Kale.
Yeah, it was pretty good. A 7.
7.
And I will pass because I probably won't go on to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I smash.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving this one a hot 8. I think it was a really good pilot. Like, it did enough where all the stories were interesting enough. The mysteries are there. And I kind of forgotten that this was a good show because I think that this show went for so long and the back half of it seemed
It got bad.
People seemed to shit on it a lot. And I remembered it being like a bad, like kind of like a passions.
After season 4, there's a 7-year time jump and then it kind of gets bad.
I don't have a rating from Mel, but I do have a critique from her.
Yes.
Because she said that the first season is really great because it wraps up, you know, you find out who Big Dick Delfino is.
Yeah, you get everything.
You find out what the dad was in, what he had in the box, why she'd done it, that sort of stuff. But then after that, it's like what they just made up more random shit to be happening.
What happens is kind of like, and then a new person moves into that house. And then the mystery is always around.
So it kind of feels like they had written this first season and it became a hit. So they kept it going.
100%.
So instead of Monster of the Week, it's Monster of the Season.
Although some of the actors that play those people are great. Yeah. Like huge actors.
Oh, no, great.
Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
Overall, really, really good
Weapon
pilot.
X?
Really good pilot. Yeah. And, you know, it did a really good job to the point where I was like, oh, yeah, I remember why like this had so much hype around it because it was refreshing at the time as well. Like it felt like quite a refreshing show.
I read an article on like the best first seasons of TV shows and this was one of them. Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch the first season.
Now, ladies and gentlemen at home, this is a warning. We're about to enter the spoiler room. So if you do not want to hear Desperate Housewife spoilers, it's about time to turn off the episode now. Maybe skip all the way to the end. I don't know why. What that?
Maybe you're just here for the spoilers. In which
maybe
case,
you're just here to hear.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Kale say pussy and then skip to the end.
Well, but I'm just saying you don't want to have like you want to finish the episode so then it kind of gets archived on your podcast app. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Come on, don't be fucking stupid about this.
Yeah.
But we're about to enter the spoiler room. This is going to be quick. We all want to know what happens in season 1 of this show.
I'll play it.
Welcome to the spoiler room.
So the mystery is what she did.
What did she do?
What's in the box? So
do we want guesses or do we want to just go straight into
quickly give me the world's quickest theories.
Well, yeah, I think
about what's in the box, or like what she's hiding and what's up with Mike. Well, you said Mike's a cop.
Well, yeah, no, I think Mike's a cop and he's just investigating whatever happened in the box. I have no idea what's in the box. I didn't even really realize there was a box.
Yeah, it's something I don't dug remember, up. Because
you don't actually see the box in this episode. You just see him digging a hole.
Yeah.
So I just assumed that he was digging a hole to something mysterious.
What did Mary Alice do? What did you do, Mary Alice?
She shot herself in the head.
Okay, well, your theories are kind of what happened. She shot herself in
the head because the note wasn't for her.
Oh, okay. Ooh, interesting. My theory is something to, I don't, you know what? I'm going to throw it out there. I don't think the dad did anything.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the big thing.
He buried it for her?
I think he buried it for the son.
Oh.
So I think the son did
We've
something.
Got a bit of a red rum.
Yeah, a bit of a red rum son, and something that's buried in that back in the pool is something that son did as a kid, and they both covered it up together, and then someone found out about it. Maybe the son was a twin. Who knows?
Right.
So.
Yes.
That was a pretty big red herring in the show. They make it look like that, and to the point that Zach believes that he killed whoever's in the box, and he thinks it's his twin. It's not true.
Okay.
Wait, the son thinks that he had a twin that they killed and put in a box?
Yeah. There's a lot that pulls him that way. Yeah. But okay, so what happened was... Mary Ellis and Rex used to live in another, Mary Ellis and whatever his name is, used to live in another town.
Yes.
Where she was a nurse. They were trying to have a baby. They couldn't have a baby. Then she worked in a rehab. This meth addict kept coming in.
They stole a baby.
And she was pregnant with a child. And one day she came in and she was like, I can't do this anymore, and gave Mary Ellis the child. Mary Ellis and her husband, Paul, moved to Wisteria Lane, changed their names.
Mm-hmm.
And changed the child's name and started raising him as their own, thinking that the girl would change her mind. She does. She finds them. She tracks them down. They murder her.
Oh.
And they put her in the box.
Oh, so her son is not hers at all.
Sorry?
So the son is not hers.
The son is the crack baby.
And his name used to be Dana, which, like, thank goodness they took him.
Looks like a crack baby.
So the
gums.
Mike, also an ex-meth addict, was married to her.
Oh, Mike Delfino.
Yeah, so... He has been not a cop. He has been trying to find both his son and what happened to his wife. Mary Huber's sister was a nurse at the same rehab.
Oh.
Martha Huber's sister. She's talking to Martha one day and Martha's showing her a photo of like some sort of street party. And she's like, I know her.
Yes.
Tells her the story. Martha finds out. Martha's huge into blackmail. She starts blackmailing Susan when
Who's
she works.
Martha? I just don't.
The old lady that's nosy.
Okay,
sorry.
Yeah.
She starts blackmailing Susan later because she figured out Susan burnt down Edie's house, for example.
Yeah.
She starts blackmailing.
So she's the one that left the note.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell.
But Paul does murder her, so don't even worry.
Yeah. She dies pretty soon, hey? Because she's only in like 5 episodes or something like
Who's
that.
Who's Paul?
Like Mary Ellis's husband. But like, so the be all end all is Mary Ellis and her husband stole a baby, murdered the mother. Someone found
voted
out.
Voted for Trump.
And then they snatched Swift.
And they what?
Snatched Swift.
Not bad. Pretty good.
Tight.
Pretty good.
It's definitely the best they reveal a mystery in any season. Yeah. And that's why it was hard to follow up.
You've officially been spoiled.
Welcome to the spoiler room.
You've just been spoiled.
You can come, but you may never leave.
Come.
All right, well, that's our pilot episode of Desperate Housewives. If you want to recommend shows, write to us on Instagram and shit like that. Thank you so much for listening.
Rate and review us, bitches.
Rate and review us. We're going to end this episode the same way we end every fucking episode, and that's by saying...
You guys are so desperate, you pussy bitches.